outside. So let's prepare to go within as we take a nice deep centering breath in.
And we let go.
You are the light of the world. Breathe into that and know that as your truth in this moment. I am the light of the world. You are energy expressing as you, a unique refraction of light pouring forth in a thrilling array of colors, just like a rainbow. There's fluidity in the rainbow. The colors shimmer, blend, appear and disappear, create a half arc, a full arc, appearing bright or faint, translucent even. Mysterious, wondrous, changing, and also still. Peaceful and astonishing, like you. Breathe into that truth. Breathe into your inherent beauty, your magnificence, your wonder. That is your starting place. Nothing and take it away. The rainbow may appear and disappear, but that's an illusion. It's simply what we're seeing with our limited vision. Colors exist beyond our ability to see. The essence of you is that same essence. Even if you cannot see it, it is true. You are a child of God. You are the light of the world. You are those colors refracting through and as you. The light never goes away. The sun never sets. Rather, the earth moves. We move. Perspective changes. We think the light has gone, but it has not. The light is here, eternal outside of time. You are that, shimmering and shining. In the silence for a moment, simply be with that beauty. Rest in the knowledge, in the experience of your shimmering beauty right now. Today we explore loving yourself. As the song says, how could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you are less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. We are connected. We are beautiful, each in our own way. We are worthy of love. That love starts from within because that's where we access God. And so we do that today. We call it good with a capital G. Thank you. Thank you, God, for this journey of loving ourselves and allowing that to overflow into the world. It is good, and so it is. Amen.
Wipe the tears from your eyes. Don't fear, even though it's like the sun just disappeared. Well, they can't take away my pride, 'cause I'm stronger than I've ever been before.
We stand tall, like when they made that stance out of Stonewall. That's proof that if we together, we won't fall. That's proof that if we together, we won't fall. 'Cause love is love, no hate, and love wins. You heard that. We stand tall, we all together. And trans lives matter, bring our girls back.
No shame. Forgiveness helps to heal all your pain. We're here, and the colors of the rainbow surround you near. Oh, they will never win this fight, 'cause we're stronger than we've ever been before.
Together, there's nothing we can't achieve. No matter your race or creed, we just gotta believe. We are all survivors. We just gotta keep riding. They try to take our pride, but we just gotta keep fighting. The time is right now. No more talking about it. We more than just choreographers, stylists, and makeup artists. We are sons and daughters, rappers, doctors, and lawyers. And when we stand together, we'll be victorious.
God's love is all inclusive. And Leo, that was a masterpiece.
Truly.
Thank you. Thank you. That is so touching, sobering.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. What a reminder of the world in which we live. We stand united. We stand united. We are in this place called unity at a time that it is not particularly easy to stand united in a world of such incredible division. And Robert and I decided today what we would, our time together is called Love Yourself. So one of the banners, posters in that video was Say Yes to Love. So say today is about saying yes to loving yourself. Robert, I know you've got something to say about that.
I do. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, it is such a journey, and it's so easy for us to overlook. There's a great part of Matthew 22 that some of you may recall, where a group of scholars confronted Jesus, and one of them tested him by asking what the greatest commandment is. Jesus said to him, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest of the laws. The second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the laws and the writings of the prophets depend on these two most important laws."
Yes, so absolutely.
Loving your neighbor as you love yourself is just one of only two laws that Jesus points to. It's the essence of his message.
It is.
The most
it is indeed. Listen, I know that you have some, prepared remarks for us this morning. And I'd love to say, take it away, and then I'll come back in and we'll chat some more. Okay. So have at it. Preach. I'll see you in a minute, Robert, and we'll talk.
Thank you. Will do. So that I think is a very meaningful takeaway. And again, it's something that we often overlook. It says you love your neighbor as you love yourself. We may miss the part that says love yourself. It's actually implied there. So the talk title today, Love Yourself, is actually from the Bible. You didn't know that, did you? But then the question is, what happens to us when we're shut off from love? And specifically, when we're told by the culture around us that the way we feel love is shameful. Talk about crossed wires. That really, really messes people up. And I think anyone who even implies such a thing is committing what I call spiritual violence. I think I heard that term first at Unity of New York. The healing of that wound is what gay pride is about. It commemorates a time when brave people said no. In Unity terms, before we could affirm our love, we had to deny the great lie in our culture that made our love illegal. So let's remember that Stonewall was a riot protesting the police arresting people for being gay, lesbian, trans. They actually called us perverts, deviants, and criminals. And I don't think you can jump from that reality where you're being rounded up, put into a police van, and taken to jail, your name published in the paper to shame you, possibly cost you your job, get you disowned from your family. You can't jump right from that to affirming the truth. There's a healthy no that needs to be declared, that this will have no power over us, that your false rules are not the rules of a loving system, a just system, one that claims to be divinely inspired. We can do better. And I think we're knowing that more and more as each day passes. We can do better. And so we say no to that. And then we can begin to affirm who we are. For me personally, this has been a journey. Like many of my generation, the early dream was to be tolerated. Then we moved up to accepted. So to put that in context, imagine going to a wedding between a man and a woman and saying to the happy couple as you leave that you've decided to tolerate their love. Or what if you said, hey, I just want you to know that I totally accept that you love each other. Okay, bye. Imagine if that was your wedding wish. And yet that was the dream, to be tolerated and accepted. That's almost as far as we could imagine. So gay pride is needed because gay shame is so huge. Even if you have a great family who supports you right away, as I did, you're still affected by messages that permeate the culture, little slights, the invisibility in those years when we didn't appear in a positive light in any TV show or movie, the lingering effects of being labeled a mental disorder as late as the 1970s within my life. It's what I think of as an infrastructure of thought, similar to what Charles Fillmore called race consciousness, by which he meant human race consciousness, but in this case, it's societal consciousness. As Madge used to say in those Palmolive ads, we're soaking in it. When it comes to Christianity, it's curious that so much is made of this to this day. Just about a week ago, a political party's platform in Texas labeled the LGBTQ community abnormal, and they explicitly supported people who oppose homosexuality based on faith, religion, or a belief in traditional values. So, this is apparently still in play, especially in many religious circles. But not all. Here at Unity, we don't reject or simply tolerate or accept. We celebrate who you are at the core. We celebrate how we feel and express our love. It's a beautiful thing, worthy of a big party, a big hug that says you are awesome. And I got that hug, literally and figuratively, when I walked through the doors of Unity of New York in 2003. A celebratory affirmation grounded in a loving God. Imagine that. And it's not just a new thought, it's a new expression, a new celebration. So I found my spiritual home in 2003. But let me go back just a little bit to briefly tell my story of coming out, which could also be called my story of coming into my true self. I'm one of those who really hid all of this, even from myself. It's denial, not the kind I was talking about in Unity, but the unhealthy psychological kind that says, oh, no, nothing going on here. Keep moving. I can remember elaborate thought processes that I employed to deny that I might be gay. Well, I told myself, according to Kinsey, everyone is on a spectrum, and it makes sense that part of me would be most repressed since it's forbidden. So it just seems larger than it really is. Or I said, no, I'm not really interested in that college classmate I keep looking at. It's just that he's clearly better at relating to women than I am, and I want to learn from him. I really thought that. Not even ironically. Amazing. Now, as a result of all this repression, I did really well in school. I wasn't dating, so I channeled all that energy into studying. I was too busy to date. Then, toward the end of college, I tried dating women, and it was all right. I mean, clearly, I thought, our popular culture exaggerates what it feels like to be in love, but it's pleasant, it's nice. This is probably as good as it gets. Now, eventually, the truth has a way of coming out. Once I moved to New York, it took only 2 years for me to start considering that I might be bisexual. Bisexual people definitely exist, but let's just say I'm not one of them. I had a girlfriend in New York for a few months. She ended it because she didn't feel like I really valued her the way she deserved, which was true. Straight women deserve men who are attracted to them, men who really want to be with them. Everyone deserves that. Love is a spiritual force, and we need to feel it and express it. It's expansive, takes us beyond ourselves. In fact, we say God is love, right? So when we shame love, we're basically trying to cancel God. And that is a sin, in my opinion. Not just an error thought, but it's a thought that harms people. Well, I eventually got up the courage to enter a gay bar, the only place you could safely go to find each other back then, and dated the first guy who talked to me for a few months. Then I met a guy in a running group who didn't seem gay at all, and that was a big plus to me. It meant I could be with him and no one would have to know we were gay. We could hide in plain sight, which I later realized was a subtle form of misogyny. You see, he didn't act feminine at all. And I couldn't be around men with feminine energy because I couldn't accept that in myself. I couldn't love that in myself. Now, he and I were funny. There was genuine kindness there, but we fought all the time. We were not compatible. And long story short, I hid out in that relationship for 8 years. It was kind of like a second closet. Now, depression eventually led me into therapy and then into a 12-step group for codependency because I literally didn't feel able to leave. And I said, well, what if this is as good as it gets? In 12-step recovery, I developed a concept of God of my understanding, as we say. Got me into spirituality and gave me just enough confidence to leave that relationship, to gain what I think of as escape velocity. You know, that speed you need to reach in order to escape the gravitational pull of a planet. It's sort of the same thing here. But let me be clear, he wasn't the problem. And really, neither was I. I am not a problem. But I am responsible for my state of consciousness and for my choices and the energy I carry. Well, about 20 years of therapy, 20 years in Unity, 14 years of prayer chaplain, 12 steps, 2 years in seminary, pivotal retreats and classes, journaling, reading, discussing, and here I am. And I have to tell you, I am happy. I met Joseph at age 50 and moved with him up to Wappingers Falls a year ago. We're about to celebrate 7 years together, and it's the first time I've really been certain that I'm in the right place. The laughter, passion, love, tenderness, the sense of adventure that we share is literally more than I used to think possible. It is beyond my imagination. Now, it's not happily ever after, which I don't think is a very helpful phrase, because this takes work, sometimes a lot. Sometimes stuff comes up, stuff to walk through, and we do it. And it's worth it. And believe me, the wait was worth it. 50 years. The old voices still exist, but they are more faint most of the time. Occasionally resurrecting for a moment or a day, but they do tend to recede. And I feel at home in myself, which is maybe why I was able to find and start building a home in the outer world, too. To own a home as I own who I am. All of this has fed my ministry, has my acting training, learning to tell the truth under imaginary circumstances, as Sandy Meisner put it. All of it reflects and somehow serves God. A God of love itself, passionately engaged with my life force, guiding me, smiling, sometimes patiently waiting for me to return after a brief or not so brief foray. That's the self that comes out and into the world now, capable of loving my neighbor because I've learned to love and celebrate myself, my highest self. So it overflows out. And that's what I celebrate today. And I think what we can all celebrate today, that journey, because it's beautiful. Thank you.
Good stuff. Robert, thank you for sharing all of that.
Of course.
That was an abundance of richness. And the wait was worth it. Mm. The wait is worth it in loving ourselves.
It
may be cliche, but the only way we can love another, love our neighbor, is by loving ourselves.
Absolutely.
When we are carrying whatever is not love, we are going to project that outward onto others. And I loved so many things about your sharing. And the first thing that comes to mind is your listing of of your journey of the past 20 years in Unity, in 12-step, as a prayer chaplain, and on and on and on. You've been a very good spiritual soldier.
It's funny, and it happens in the background. You know, you don't even realize it until I'm writing it down, like, oh, this has been a while. These things are kind of happening organically over time.
And I feel like that's so much of the point of today, of having this dialogue and sharing these stories. There are so many layers. I feel like I want to say 12 things at one time. But gosh, going back to seeing that video, starting with the image of Stonewall.
Yeah.
And you speaking back to where our ages are not too far apart.
Correct. Yeah.
Growing up for me in the 70s, some of the things you said were taking me back to bringing up old, deep wounds of my life. And Unity has been so pivotal and instrumental in me embracing who I am.
Yeah.
It took such a long time because in the outer, I had it all going on. And in the inner, there was such turmoil. I was so terrified that, particularly in the 70s, as I became a teenager and then was growing in later into a young adult, the torment just deepened and the secret strengthened and grew deeper roots. And you just reminded us back in the 70s, being gay was considered a mental illness, mental order, a crime in so many places, a crime.
And still in the world.
And even though I was hiding, doing everything I could to hide, having these secret, very secret longings, when I was hearing in church, in religious circles, that it is wrong, to sinful to be a homosexual. I'm like, God, if I could do something about this, don't you think I would? I tried everything short of, you know, shock therapy, I think. And it was really awful to go through. And the irony is, and I think I've shared this before, that most people around me, along with Helen Keller and Ray Charles, could see that I was gay, no matter how I protested.
Right.
But as long as I didn't admit it or do anything about it, no one could prove anything. And I love your story about when you finally got the nerve to go into a gay bar and the first person that paid any attention to you that spoke to you. I have a similar story. In the 80s, but it was the mid 80s.
Yeah.
And I could hear Will Robinson, the robot, warning, Will Robinson. I'm like, oh my God, but he's kind of, people won't really know, and we can have this secret relationship. Oh my God. And the terror of that, even in the 80s, living with someone for 3 years. I mean, my house was one big closet. Yeah. And people were suspecting and figuring things out. And living in the fear that I could get fired from my job.
Right.
A job that I wasn't crazy about anyway, but I had a very respectable banking job in the mid 80s in wow. Florida. Yeah, that's why I like math so much.
But
thinking, not knowing how much truth there was to it, but thinking cops could bust into my house and raid my house and arrest me if they catch me sleeping in the same bed as my partner. Yep. And of course, there was the AIDS crisis going on. And there I was in a rather small town thinking, and not knowing enough about it at that point, thinking, oh my God, if I could get AIDS from a mosquito, and then it's going to say I'm gay. And I remember the first time, even getting near the late 80s, where I went to get tested. Just to alleviate, it's kind of like getting tested for COVID now. You don't know, and you want to find out, you know, negative or positive. And it was terrifying, terrifying. I drove to a city a couple of hours away, and at the health department, it was very anonymous, giving a number and having to wait about a week to go back and check in person by number. Oh my God. Even thinking back to that, it's like I've got to exhale. And then things started shifting in the 90s. And in the 90s is also when I found unity. And so by the time we're getting into the late 90s, that's when I started finally accepting myself. I remember my first time at Unity, Richard Barnes was speaking. He was Eric Butterworth's associate minister at the time at Lincoln Center. And not judging, but just assessing, I'm like, he's gay. And he loved to laugh at his own jokes. And he was just funny. And I went, my God. There's a huge tribe of people here where it's okay. Oh my God. Can I finally accept who I am? And around that time, Ellen was coming out. You know, she's like, yes, the rumors are true. There was Will and Grace. There were some movies where gay characters were pivotal characters in the films. And so anyway, without going piece by piece through my own journey, there's been so much progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yet we're living the human experience, spiritual beings in the human realm, walking planet Earth. Yeah. And there are human beings doing heinous things, making heinous choices, making heinous decisions that impact and affect us. And this morning I woke up thinking about that. That was on my mind. Roe versus Wade was on my mind, and what's next and what's coming. And to not get caught up into it, because what is this here to teach me? Yeah. And what came to mind early this morning was, I'm so glad that you brought Jesus into this conversation early on. Jesus, the way shower. All about love yeah. and forgiveness, tall orders.
Absolutely.
Tall orders. But I thought of Jesus saying, turn the other cheek. And that is such a misinterpreted scripture of turning the other cheek. Doesn't mean it's okay to do what you just did.
Right.
It's okay to do it again. But what it means metaphysically is there's another way of looking at this. And it's not retaliation. There are so many times I want to retaliate. And it's not about retaliation. It's not as simple as to say we can always make another choice. Mm-hmm. Well, right now it's about choosing what we think. It's not just as simple as saying we can make another choice, because right now you cannot, as of Friday, whenever, just hours ago, literally, there are certain states where you cannot go get an abortion. You cannot choose to go get an abortion there. You cannot choose to have those same rights that have been there for 50 years.
Yeah.
But we can choose how we're thinking about it. And I love that you shared that coming out for you is really coming into myself. We're always coming to ourselves. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure a number of you watched Carlos give another amazing lesson and talk. And he was sharing his journey with this exact thing of embracing what he went through to embrace who he is. And he said that it was his Aunt Audrey, or as we'd say in the South, it's his Aunt Audrey, as he would say from New England, that know who you are and be that.
Yeah.
Know who you are and be that.
Yeah.
And gosh, I didn't realize I would just start vomiting this stuff up, but you know, there's just bigotry wears many hats.
It does, you know, and it's fear.
Last week we celebrated Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Well, there's progress, there's regress. There's progress, there's regress. And I have to hold to that the love wins out and truth prevails somehow in the grand scheme of things. There's the ebb and the flow. A very close friend of mine just a few weeks ago went to Virginia to visit her cousin for the weekend. And she's as bubbly and friendly a person as you'll find walking planet Earth. And she's shared with me that her cousin is also. And they're Black. And the next door neighbor will not speak to them, have anything to do with them. If the kids are playing in the yard, they're not allowed to say anything or speak to them. And they're like, well, and I love that there's a sense of self-love and not taking it personally, like, well, and I'll still try. I'll still continue to say hello, whether I get a reply or a response back.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like it's probably pretty possible today that there may be some people going, well, what about me? You're talking about gay, gay, gay. What about me? It's all of us.
Yeah.
We are one.
Yeah.
Sarah said early in the service, no matter how you identify, you are loved. We are all loved. Yes, it's gay pride, but it's pride for all. And to me, it's a parallel. It's like when, you know, Black Lives Matter and people, well, all lives matter. Well, yes, duh, all lives matter. But you don't. But if that's what you're saying, then you don't get why Black Lives Matter.
Right. Same with gay pride. Saying,
what about me and love? Right. It's like, yes, but look at that film. Look at what Robert is sharing. Look at what we've all gone through. Not that long ago, just to have some basic rights to live and exist.
Yeah.
Robert, that was so rich what you said about, can you imagine going out to a heterosexual couple on their wedding day and say, I tolerate your love. and it wasn't that long ago where I had a realization of going, Oh my God. How awful. Tolerance.
Yeah. Tolerance.
Tolerance for who you are. I'm like, colorful language, you, yeah. is how I feel about that.
Your choices.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh. Okay, I'll try to wrap my my diatribe up with this. But just a few weeks ago, a family member, a niece to be exact, put something on Facebook. Now, I'm hardly ever on Facebook for reasons such as this. There's a friend of mine that saw this post. My niece is very, very conservative Christian, living in Florida. And most people, if you haven't been living in a cave or under a rock, know about this, what's been going on in Florida for months about don't say gay, you know, children. Oh, if they say gay, it'll turn them gay. But she went on this, she did this huge post about how it is a choice and blah, blah, blah. And when this was shared with me, it hit my toe with a sledgehammer. And all I responded to her was shame on you. And then I felt shame for saying shame on you. That's not like me. It's a knee-jerk reaction. I did not turn the other cheek. I didn't say all that I wanted to, but I did not turn the other cheek. I was like, I want to shame you for saying this. And it opened up a huge dialogue with us. And I'm not here to change her, but I'm here to just say, you've got two family members, and you're not, and clearly in your own limitation and bigotry, you're not knowledgeable about this. Because if this living the all of this was a choice, do you seriously think I wouldn't have made another choice? It's not been easy. It's a miracle I'm alive today to be having this conversation.
And it's why people knowing you and coming out, as we heard in Leo's video, coming out is so crucial. Telling the truth to people, being authentic, has really changed the world. One person at a time coming out starts melting that hate. If you know someone, it's much harder to hate. Really know them.
Yeah.
It's not some miracle, you know, cure, but I think it is a slow melting of the hate.
It is, and it's going to be the ebb and the flow. It's going to be members of this particular Supreme Court doing this and that, and now trying to chip away at the rights of all individuals. And what do we do about that?
Yeah.
Not retaliate. Not retaliate. Someone's got to drop that rock in the rock fight.
Yeah.
And turn the other cheek and know there's a different way of going about this. And the fact that you also brought, I'm going to wrap this up because I could go on and on, and we have a couple of more wonderful surprises in store. And I'm saying again, don't touch that dial. I can see if you leave the room. But I will say that, Robert, you touched on Texas, and just a couple of weeks ago putting into law something about drag queens. Well, drag queens scare some people like clowns do, you know, but they're drag queens. They're people expressing who they are in that way. And to know that, and I'm going to be careful not to get on a slippery political soapbox. That's not what this is about. But to know that there was more concern from a particular politician and group of politicians and human individuals about drag queens, there was more focus on that than the children and teachers that had just lost their lives in a shooting in the same state.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. And so here we are at Unity, striving to find meaning. What does this mean? And that's where the crazy comes in, not knowing what it means, but staying in the question, what does this mean? And what does it mean to me? And what is mine to do? And so, Robert, I say, I haven't let you get a word in it twice, but I say, what is mine to do? What is ours to do? Yeah. Is love ourselves. Love starts there,
and then it can overflow. And the thing in you that bothers me is probably something I haven't come to peace with in myself. And so it's worth the journey. And we're inviting people into a great party. You know, like, come to Unity of New York on Sunday. You'll see that, hey, it actually all works out. Not only well, it's beautiful. It's what I think Jesus would have wanted, quite frankly. He loved everybody. And the people that were outcast back then are the people he loved the most, it seems. So, yeah, this is it's an opening up into love.
It's an opening up. I'm not sure if I'm making this up or imagining it, but I think somewhere along the way I heard that Charles Fumer was known to say that if Jesus were alive, he would be a Unity person.
Sounds good.
I like to think that myself.
Yeah.
Because we are all the colors of the rainbow, and we are about love and forgiveness and expressing who we are. And as Aunt Audrey said to Carlos, know who you are and be that. And so, Robert, I thank you. I want, speaking of being who you are and that being fabulous and quite wonderfully expressive, I want to hear a little something from Zoe right now.
Awesome.
So thank you. Thank you, Robert. I'll see you again in a minute. But okay. Right now, here's Zoe and some more fabulosity from Leo's creativity.
Big spot and two. Happy Pride, everybody.